and welcome to the 157th edition of the GoMeanGreen.com Barbershop Podcast. This is Evan.
This is Harry.
And this is Ashton.
And we are here to talk North Texas football. It's been a strange offseason, new coach, recruiting, last-minute recruiting. We just don't know what we have right now.
Well, it's, I mean, there's a lot of excitement around a new signing class and a new coaching staff. We got 19 guys to sign on the dotted line. A lot of those are junior college transfers. But I think, you know, whenever you have a staff that's new, that has about a month really to go out and develop relationships and get guys to change their mind, it's tough. I mean, and so I think, you know, while we're all glad to have these guys be a part of this program, and I think we got some nice players. Overall, this should be the weakest class that Luttrell and his new staff signs. And just a case in point, you know, Keenan Johnson, the Tulsa kid that they got to flip, ended up flipping back to Tulsa. Well, at the end of the day, Tulsa's coaches were recruiting this guy for a year, and Luttrell only had a month or less than a month to recruit this kid. So I think recruiting is going to improve tremendously in the Luttrell era, but we have to be able to be realistic about how quickly that can happen.
Yeah, it's one of the it's the, like you said, the recruiting class that should be the weakest. It's just the kind of a recruiting class that I wish that everybody, all the fans, would just kind of not even really pay attention to, in a sense, because there's not much we can't judge too much on, like, why didn't they get this guy, or why did they, you know, because he didn't have the time. And if he missed out on a couple guys, what if he would have had 3, 4, or 5 more weeks, or just even a few more days, he might have been able to get those guys. Like the Tulsa flip, that's a great example. You know, some people, because we are very frustrated as a fan base right now, because we won one game last season, and everybody's a little pissed off. You know, they're gonna like look at the negatives, and I almost just kind of wish that, or and hope that everybody didn't really, that took this recruiting class with a grain of salt and just kind of said, okay, everybody that we got to sign, like, cool, we got somebody, and they've got maybe a star or two.
Well, you bring up a perfect example. The guy that recruited, that committed to Tulsa, decommitted, committed back, they'd worked on him for a year. You bring in a coach in December, and you expect that coach to turn around and go out and find players, good quality players, that weren't sure where they were going to commit to. With a month and a half to go, that's tough. I mean, you might find you're not going to have a good recruiting class if you pull a diamond out of the rough, because they're not going to be ranked. And finding those guys that didn't have something they were really strongly leaning towards at the last minute, and to pull them to a program where they've got a new coach and a losing record, that's doubly tough.
Well, just be happy you're in the conversation.
Yeah,
kind of, right?
I think that's one piece, and I think another piece is the timing of the Mac dismissal really hurt us. And my point is on that, you look at like a UTSA, they had Coker through the entire season. They had their assistants out recruiting kids that they'd been recruiting on for years or longer, and there was a consistency there. We lost Mac, what, fifth game of the season?
But did that hurt us in coach selection?
Because
I feel like as it came down to it, and more colleges needed new coaches, that maybe we were lucky to get Luttrell when we did.
I think the
that's
firing,
a good point, Evan.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with Evan on that one. But I also think I don't look at firing a coach when you fire him any different than when he's fired. It's a new. I mean, it's all changing. So I've never been a big supporter of the mindset of, well, you know, what you were just saying, like when. I don't feel like it would hurt us that much. I think what hurt us is we were terrible. And we were winning one game, and we weren't winning any games, you know, for most of the season. So I think that we were already behind the eight ball because, you know, I mean, the last couple of recruiting classes have been pretty good, and we're starting to see, and I've been beating the drum on this, you know, all last season. I think the last two classes have been pretty good, and we're seeing some guys, you know, come out of it. And you know, I would have liked to see a little bit more out of Goree last year, but chalk it up to learning. I don't know. But It wasn't going to be a good time to fire Mac, no matter when it was. It was. It, I mean, one game in, three games in, five games in, eight games in. It would have been, it was going to be bad, and we were going to be behind another eight ball either way.
And let's be honest, it wasn't like Mac was sitting on, 25-star recruits.
Gold mine, yeah.
Our recruiting wasn't going that great.
We lost all these guys to Alabama, damn. I mean, come on.
All right, so speaking of Alabama.
There's the segue.
We've got several guys that fill immediate needs, needs that we knew we were going to have coming into this year. Everybody likes to see the long-term building, but to be competitive next year, we needed certain positions filled. We needed something, a spark, and did we get that quarterback?
We have no idea.
I don't think we know for sure, but Alec Morris is certainly a guy that fits the bill for what you're describing. I mean, the downside to him is he hadn't really played, okay? But he was a very heralded recruit coming out of Allen High School. He's got a big-time arm. He was a hair away from getting the starting job at Alabama starting this last football season. He didn't end up doing it, and the guy that beat him out ended up – winning the national championship.
Was he that close? Like, was it pretty? I didn't really do a lot of the
background
check.
Yeah, he was
on that.
Named the starter, I want to say, heading into the maybe three or four weeks before the season or right
and
at the start of the season.
And he went down to number three?
Evidently.
That's the kind of stuff that kind of gets me scared when that stuff happens. Like DeMarcus Smith, in a sense. Like when you jump around from school to school, all of a sudden it's like, well, you were good, but damn.
I've done some research on him, though. I mean, he sounds like a good kid. He sounds like he's got the physical tools. I've watched some of his film. He's got a big-time arm. Yeah. And, again, it's not like we were sitting on just a bevy of quarterback talent.
It's not going to take much to win the job.
Well, I mean, you got DeMarcus and then a
– Do you?
I knew you were going to go that way. But DeMarcus is probably – I mean, we could talk about DeMarcus. I think DeMarcus is really interesting in this offense. Now, can we get his touch passing to get better? Yeah, but a lot of people look at that quarterback North Carolina had when Littrell was the offensive coordinator, and they damn near beat Clemson. And he looks like a DeMarcus clone. I mean, he really looked exactly like him.
So UNT Eagle 88 in the chat room just said, "We are hesitant to be excited." That's exactly right.
True story. I mean, that's that.
And the quarterback situation in North Texas.
We're talking about it again.
Always hesitant to be excited about any new quarterback.
Well, I was excited about Brock Berglund. I admit it freely, and a lot of other people were as well. And it turned out to be a big bust. And I think that's one of the reasons we've got a new coaching staff here is that, one of the biggest faults of the Mac era was being able to identify a quarterback talent.
Not getting one in. I mean, because Derek wasn't his. Like, it's like we didn't get any quarterbacks out of that, that were able to win some games.
Yeah, and that's always been a big contention. A lot of people like Chico as a guy, but wasn't he the one evaluating quarterback talent?
It just it goes back to what we're just going to start rehashing everything. Right. We're getting into the situation where we never knew who to place the blame on. And I don't want to sit there and start bashing Chico because he's not there now,
Right,
but
right.
we don't know. Like, yes, I mean, you would assume the quarterback's coach was the one in charge of the quarterbacks. And I think that there was some hope with all these guys, but it's just the JUCO transfer quarterback. I never liked that. And I know that there's guys, one guy's just MVP of the freaking National Football League was a JUCO transfer quarterback. It's like it happens.
So let's talk about – oh, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, I'm a little bit more excited about Alec than I was about DeMarcus or Brock. No, I'm sorry. I was really excited about Brock. I was excited about Greer.
Yeah,
all right,
I was too.
And I was not excited about DeMarcus, and I was on the record as saying that and we had that argument plenty of times, and everybody can go back and listen to episodes.
I feel like
135 through 140.
I feel like we're all admitting that we cried during Old Yeller. You know what I mean? It's like having to admit to the excitement. But you can go back. I mean, it's in the old podcast. I mean, when Josh Greer got signed, we were thrilled. I mean, this guy was 6'5", had a huge arm. It looked so on the outside looking in.
Derek was leaving, and we knew that what was there wasn't good or like good enough because we'd only seen a little bit of McNulty to think that it was very ambiguous. We didn't really know what to think of him. And then again, Greer had all the measurables, which in recruiting, that's all you're going by is measurable. So it's like you get into the same thing again with recruiting, that it's just, it's all just such a big bag of unknown.
Well, I remember Mick McNulty came in and scored his first touchdown. We were like, wow, this
opening
young
of
guy.
The stadium.
The actually, first touchdown.
I think it might have been when I was a senior in 97 or 98 because
he played when
he
I was in
like
high school.
Yeah,
I think.
He's pretty much been there for, it seemed like he was there forever in one shape or form. Yep. But all right, so.
But McNulty also didn't
situation.
Take a knee. Let's just throw that out there before a sack.
So we got a quarterback where we're hoping can come around, turn the corner there. We also got some other JUCO guys. So, Harry, throw out some of the names that you're excited about.
Well, I mean, I have to mention on the quarterback side, we did sign Oklahoma's all-time leading passer, Mason Fine, out of Locust Grove, Oklahoma. Guy had unbelievable.
Why was he still available?
That's fine.
His size. He goes about 5'10", probably a buck.
70,
75, somewhere in that range. He's undersized, but extremely productive. He's got some good wheels, but, I mean, he's got a big arm.
Who was our last really good quarterback?
I would say probably Derek Thompson.
Before Derek.
Oh, man, we're going to do this again.
Jeez, Scott Hall.
How tall was Scott Hall?
Scott Hall was probably 6 foot.
Was he really?
He was listed at 6'1", but I think he was maybe 6. You know what I mean? He was like
6'1". Yeah, I'm just trying to.
Go ahead.
No, I know that that's what I knew, that this guy's knock was his size. But when you're that good and playing at that level in high school and you can manage to have that many records, you got to wonder if that can help him overcome an inch or two.
Oklahoma has been a pretty good producer of football talent. He's he's the only one, I think, to win the Gatorade or the player of the year in Oklahoma twice. And Oklahoma, again, produced a lot. That's one of the stats that stood out to me the most, is that this guy was heralded twice, and he was the only one to get that award twice in, like, the history of the Gatorade Player of the Year's thing in Oklahoma, the award. So that's something that kind of jumped out at me, like, whoa, you know, there's been a bevy of talent that's come out of there. And this guy, again, it's just like, you know, it's like saying Archie Griffin with two Heismans. Like, he didn't do anything later on, but, I mean...
Well, he's a straight-A student. He's a good community guy. I mean, he got a – and the thing that got me about it was OU calls him the day before signing day and says, hey, we've got a preferred walk-on offer for you. You know, what do you think? And I think Oklahoma State gave him a preferred walk-on offer. But at the end of the day, it would be kind of a neat story to see a guy that OU and Oklahoma State, you know, the all-time leading passer – from Oklahoma, they didn't sign. He turned out to be a good player. I think it's kind of an interesting story to watch.
Well, I hope it is. And this is the pick of the class for me. This is who I was really excited about because I was really surprised that we got him. And I feel like he's coming here with not really a chip on his shoulder, but he's coming here with something to prove, to show everybody that it doesn't matter that he's a few inches shorter than everybody wanted him to be, that he can still pull it off.
It's going to be fun to watch. I cannot wait to see him and, you know, You hope for the best, and you hope that he proves all the you know, supposed experts wrong.
Yeah. Ashton, what about your look at the class? Who are you excited about?
Well, I'm going to throw out two, if I can.
It's just one.
Okay, fine. Well, one JUCO and one signee is what I was going to go with because I'm kind of torn between the two.
Okay, that's a good – there's two different signees.
The William Johnson, the linebacker.
Big name.
Love his measurables. I mean, again, we're getting back into that. 6'3", 230 or something. That dude, he just, it'd be so great to have like a big, tall, fast lineman or linebacker. I mean, it would be, granted, you know, we don't always need the height to be there, but the 6'3", I mean, you know, with I assume a pretty decent wingspan. You know, if we got a guy that's, you know, taller than Will Wright, with the wingspan that Will Wright used to have, who was one of the more underrated players on that defense, that excites me a little bit. Again, we don't know schemes yet, really, so we don't know how he's going to fit. Or, you know, we were excited about Courtney Finney last year, but this guy's stats, measurables, I kind of like that. And then I'm going to go with the running back from Arlington, Smith. That one's scored like 35 touchdowns as a junior or something like that.
Yeah,
as a junior, that's ridiculous.
Crazy. Yeah.
And watching the film of Johnson and Smith, I mean, honestly, those would have been my two picks too. Those guys, and they really saved the class. If you care about rankings, you know, hauling in those two guys late in the game, I think really helped us move up the rankings in Conference USA. you know, Johnson, you know, I think he was committed to Nebraska at one point. And then I don't know how Smith kind of fell through the cracks, but he was
injured.
I think he's one of the most productive from out of the Arlington Martin for sure.
He's the all-time leading scorer in Arlington ISD is what I'm reading right now.
Arlington ISD.
And leading rusher in school history. And again, it's Martin. It's not like a crap hole.
And the cool thing
anything.
Is that these it's days with Huddle yeah. and all the YouTube video and stuff, you can go in and watch. And like I watched a lot of William Johnson. And let me tell you, I know people can kind of rig those videos to look really cool. But man, every play
see
that guy,
beyond the green.
that guy is very fast and very productive. And the same thing for Smith. If you haven't, go into gomeangreen.com. We've got all the bios for all the different players. Check out some of these videos on these two. They are just impressive.
Well, I brought that list up actually, and you know, I'm seeing 3-star ESPN. Like I don't care if it's you know, the National Enquirer star ratings for these recruits. I just like seeing threes because we're not used to seeing threes all the time. And granted, a lot of these are like, okay, well, he's also 2-star rivals. And I've also been one to say that I really don't like the star thing because it's like who anoints these kids 4-stars and 5-stars. But that's just a nice little tidbit to throw out there and to see like, oh, he's a 3, you know, just seeing that is a little bit more pleasing on the eyes when you're reading somebody's bio, that the first thing is a 3-star or 4-star as opposed to we're used to seeing them not the left out because they're only ones and they
or
don't really
say
one. Yeah, exactly. It's like, you know, Tigori, we were excited about him. He's a 2-star. We were like, oh, he's a 2-star. We were saying that he was a 2-star. We were happy about that. Now we're seeing these 3-stars on the list a little bit more commonly. And that's refreshing. And again, it might not equate to anything, but we'll see.
Have we ever gotten a 3-star, Brandon Kennedy?
Oh yeah, we've gotten 3-stars. Not tons, but we've gotten
really
them.
Guys that panned out for us.
I don't even know if Brandon Kennedy was.
I
you know,
he
they,
was.
They didn't rate him. I mean, that was way back there, Evan. You're kind of showing your age there, to be honest with you. But
no, they had rankings in too.
They might have had him, but I don't think he was ranked very high. He had he was an All-State Dallas Morning News selection, which that was meant a lot back then. Of course, those don't exist anymore.
What about Riley?
Riley was highly ranked.
I don't think he was, but he was one of those weird ones because they were putting him as an athlete on some, and then a quarterback on the other one, and then he was dropping down if they put him at quarterback. I think he was like a 2-star quarterback recruit.
I remember when we signed him, he was the highest rated quarterback recruit we'd ever signed,
and he had a lot of talent. Now, I don't remember how tall he was. He had a lot of talent, but was an injury
issue.
He had some injury issues.
He's probably 5'11".
Yeah. He had some injury issues and everything else. And, of course, that was just a wacky time to begin with. But
He had concussion stuff going on too, right? Did he get a concussion? And then after that – because I felt like I remember he got a concussion, and then I think the play got diminished.
Well, that K-State game and Fouts, I mean, his body came apart into pieces. And they had to pull out the stretcher, you remember, Evan?
I remember that game.
He was given the claw while he was on the stretcher. It was kind of sad.
It was. I remember being at the Ball State game when he kind of rallied and we won that one at Ball State.
We talk about that Ball State game a lot.
Yeah, that was
such a great game.
That was one of the high water marks for
ESPN,
the program history.
ESPN 2, right? It was on ESPN 2 because I remember watching it like on TV.
We flew into Milwaukee to go to that game.
Because, you were at that game.
Yeah, flew into Milwaukee and drove to Ball State for some reason. It was a cheap flight, but it was a great experience. Dude, we drove back to Chicago that night. We were so fired up because it was a great game. And, you know, he was a big part of that. The team was rallying around him. So, you know, you just wonder if things would have turned out a little differently. You never know.
The star thing, you know, that we were on a second ago, another thing that I always kind of go back to is you hear a lot, like, you know, there's plenty of stud college athletes out there in Power 5 conference schools that were like overlooked 2-stars and walk-ons and stuff like that. And so, you know, don't ever take too much stock in the star thing. And again, our best player on our team probably right now still is a 2-star recruit, was Jeffrey Wilson. I think he was a 2-star and some people didn't even have him as a star.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you look at it's you know, I know we were just talking about the 3-stars being great, but, you know, I just everybody just needs to temper their expectations with recruiting classes and signing days because you can start talking about a bunch of guys for 2 weeks and then you never talk about them again. You know, like we might never talk about D. Balkman. You know, but he was a two-star recruit that we just signed.
Well,
you know?
I guess I wasn't going to bring his name up.
No, sorry, D, if you're listening.
No, and it makes complete sense. And we talk about recruiting, and everybody looks at the list. I'm happy with the class we got, when we got it, and how we got it. The fact that we came in with a coach after a lame duck season, lame duck coach, coming in late, managed to put this team together, bring in some immediate needs. Like I said, I'm very happy with it. Now, I'm not like into it like Harry, who has played Xbox, and the best feature about Xbox college football for Harry was the recruiting function, which I don't think 90% of the people have ever seen.
Yeah.
Some people really like the recruiting, and Louis likes to analyze it, and you're one of them.
I do, but I'm with Evan. I mean, I think the truth of the matter is, and I think I saw Coach Eckler say something to this effect, but there's about 50, maybe 100 players in the country that are just head and shoulders above every, you know, they just jump out. And then once you get past that, it's really hard to distinguish between two stars and three stars. And you know, I mean, there's been probably plenty of three stars that have busted and quite a few two stars that turned out to be All-Americans. So I think the reality of it is that it's something that's fun to follow and watch, but it's being able to figure out who's going to develop into a good player. It's not what their weight, height, and speed is necessarily, but what's their work ethic? What's their heart? You know, these are things you can't measure. You know, everyone focuses on the measurables, but what about the things you can't measure, like how good they're going to work in the classroom and things of that nature? So I think you take it with a grain of salt. I will say this. I'm real excited at the next recruiting class because I think guys like Latrell, Graham Harrell. I think Graham Harrell, given a year and given a chance, it'd help if we got a few wins. I think that's a key too. But if we could get a few wins and turn the program around and have a full year with this staff, because I think we upgraded the staff, guys. I really, really think we upgraded the staff.
Well, before we get into the staff, when you look at the players we're bringing in, he's bringing in a lot of young guys, but he's also bringing in some transfers. And these transfers can help us be competitive, get the right the ship, and that's going to help the recruiting for the following. This will help. The people he brought in will help with that recruiting next year.
One of the before we get into the, you want to switch to the staff topic? Right before we get into that, I talked to Tommy Perry the other day, and, you know, it was one of the cool things I liked about the conversation was he was really excited. And maybe didn't hear that from him as much last season, you know, kind of, you know, when you're getting your asses kicked, you know, and then the up in the air, if he's going to stay and stuff like that. I think that he was extremely happy to stay. And I think that's really good because it's nice to keep a coordinator, you know, that was successful. But, one of the first things he said is, man, we've been working our asses off. And he said it like happily, you know, he's like, we've been bust. And he said, the staff. So that leads me to believe that, okay, so Seth's got a bunch of guys that are in here working hard. And I don't think Perry was ever compared the two staffs. He's not going to do that. And I'm not ever going to ask him to do that. But he did say a couple things that I can probably quote him on, that he said that he thinks that the blueprint and the groundwork are really being laid right now for the future that makes him really excited. He said that he thinks that what Seth's doing, how he's going about doing it, he just sees things that are just refreshing. And, you know, after the year that they just had, it's really good for – go ahead, Evan.
No, go ahead.
No, it's really good for, you know, one of the guys that stuck around to say that to, you know, a fan, me, and but saying it in a very convincing – and there was a lot of conviction in the way he was saying that. Like, he didn't have to, like, sell me, oh, yeah, well, it was he was passionate. He was excited, and you know, that was pretty cool. And I think that when he keeps using the word, he's excited about the future, you know, kept throwing that out there, that's good.
So this blueprint, I hope that it's a blueprint where Latrell is here for 3 years. Here's my thinking on this.
I agree with you.
We are a program where we need to have a coach that's successful, moves on to something else. We're not going to be with those upper echelons positions. We don't want a guy who will be around here for 10 years of mediocrity. We need somebody who will come in, bring something winning, build, get good recruiting classes, and then move on after a couple of years, the 3 years. He's moved on to bigger, better things, and people will see this. He's got great recruits. He's got good players in the pipeline. Let's do it. Maybe I can be like him. That's what we need, and we've never had that here. We've never had a coach that was hired away from us to go somewhere else.
Yeah.
I mean, the only one that comes to my mind is not football, but basketball. Johnny Jones.
Yeah, okay, Johnny Jones.
Johnny Jones is a hire that went on to bigger, better things. I mean, Karen Aston, she was only here a year, but she went to Texas and, you know, she's doing great there. But in terms of football, that's the big revenue sport. You're exactly right. I mean, Todd Dodge went back to high school. Daryl Dickey has been very successful as an assistant, but he did not continue head coaching. And, of course, McCarney, we still haven't heard where he's going to end up landing.
Yeah, so the name that was brought up in the chat room, the last one that went on to bigger, better things was Hayden Fry, and that was almost 40 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago. And I think that, you know, how you word that is interesting because, not the Hayden Fry thing, the be here for 3 years. And I think that some people be like, well, you don't want him? Like, no, of course you want him. But, like, we have to be realistic. You know, we have to be realistic that when there are better jobs out there, you know that you cannot just keep a guy forever. We can't throw this guy. If we could throw $10 million a year at Seth tomorrow, he'd probably stick around for a little bit, you know? But we can't, and it's not going to happen, and nobody's going to do that. So
I'm sure he's got aspirations for something else.
Yeah, and I want him to bust his ass to get there and bust his ass at North Texas on the way and maybe bring us a couple top finishes in the Conference USA, hopefully a couple bowl wins, and lay some groundwork. Maybe groom a guy like Graham Harrell to take over, or whatever. Just groom anybody. Groom
and
somebody.
And if he gets
whatever.
Bought out, then we've got money on the table to buy his replacement, and here we go. I mean, that's the whole thing. We want people to want this coach to move on, because that means we're winning, and that just helps the recruiting, and then it just starts. It's just a snowball effect.
There are definitely things that are, you know, I'm always kind of in the middle of the camps that say, like, oh, it's impossible to recruit North Texas, or it's possible to do this in here. It's a Denton, blah, blah, blah. And then the people that say, no, you can do anything you want. I'm kind of always in the middle, and I feel like I don't really choose a side, and I probably should just jump on one. I think that there's detriments, and then there's some really cool advantages. And the biggest advantages, we're in Texas. We're in, like, just a hotbed of recruiting, and we're kind of in the middle of the coast. We can get to either coast, you know, relatively simple. We're not in Oregon where we've only got, like, one little area to recruit from, you know, or we're up in North Dakota or something like that. I think that our location is good, and it's easy to go find people. We just got to convince them to get here, and that's what I want. I want it to be a thing where Seth doesn't have to go into people's rooms and convince them to come to North Texas. I wanted them to just be like, I would like to play at North Texas.
Right.
They're on my list.
Well, let me tell you this right now. I think the next 5 years will be the best time probably in any recent history for a recruit to want to come to the University of North Texas.
It's an important 5 years.
Here's the thing, not just because of the football program, but Denton has become a destination. It has become a alternative to Austin. People see it as this cool music free kind of a hip town. People are moving here, all the stuff going on downtown. So the students, there's a lot of high school students that see Denton as, hey, this is a cool college feel town. We knew it. We went to school there. We all know about that. Now this has
damn
become
straight.
Big news, and it's become trendy. Yeah. We got 5 years where this is really going to help with things, and we got to be able to capitalize on that.
Well, wait, just to clarify, I mean, Ashton attended. I don't think he ever graduated from North Texas, but he did
attend
there. Wow,
you just put the – you know how all these fans believe everything they hear, right? So I'm screwed now. I got my diplomas hanging on my damn office if anybody wants to come see it. 10654 later.
But one thing on academics I'll forget. Did y'all, I mean, you heard that boring. We got Carnegie designation, which is a big deal. I mean, so the academic side added to the Denton side, Evan, is something that's improving too. Go ahead.
Well, I'm still hung up on this. Now I have to prove it to everybody that I graduated. I'm going to have my wife text me a picture right now of my diploma and then put it on the – no, I think you guys are right, though. And the beauty of that, even that 5 years, is that Denton's never going to get bigger than Fort Worth and Dallas, so we're always going to be like a little alternative destination around here. So, and, you know, I really hope, and I guess there's never a way – I mean, you can say it all he wants, but it could just end up being coach speak – I want to know what drove Seth down here. You know, he said the coaching opportunity. Well, you know, getting a head coaching opportunity, yeah. I mean, but I want to know if there's anything else besides just being a head coach at a school and getting, you know, a nice little raise in what you were making previously at your previous stop. Like, I just want to know if he saw, heard, read, whatever, something that just jumped out at him and was like, damn, you know, that place that is honest, that isn't just, again, just it's like a coach speak answer that is just, you know, going to appease the reporter. You know what I'm saying?
I have some thoughts on that. We may want to save them for another show, but let me just say this.
After dark?
He's from Muskogee. He's from Oklahoma. And the chance to be close to his family, hey, man, he's making good money as offensive coordinator at North Carolina, believe me. So it's not.
It's still a raise. I mean, he wasn't
making still a
this,
raise, yeah. But I'm just saying he's not hurting for dough.
No, you're right.
I think a big piece to this was that he could still be close. Those people from Muskogee, man, they're a really tight-knit community. And to be close to your family and then his wife's family's from Muskogee, you think that's not a big selling point to this job?
Now you're discounting Denton, though.
Well, I'm not trying to discount Denton, but I'm just saying there's if you're asking what are some of the reasons this job was so appealing to him, I think that's a big component.
And what I meant by that really, you're exactly right, but I'm just wondering if there was something that he saw in the area, the location, the school, the department, the whatever that, you know, is a little bit beyond the obvious things that could be, you know, I guess, you know, money, location, and what you're doing are the three biggest things of why you take a job. You know, at least you should get at least two of those things, you know, fitting in the like category, basically. I think that he wanted to be a head coach, so it's obvious, no-brainer, and the money was pretty good, and he was going to get to close these three nice things. But the program is kind of in shambles right now. We're not in a good shape. So I would like to know what the thing was. Was it a city? Was it Denton? Was it the department? Was it the future of the school? Was it
proximity to recruits?
Yeah. What little thing?
I think it was.
That's what he needs to sell to the recruits. The little thing that got him here, he needs to sell out to the recruits. Is kind of where I'm going.
I think it was New York subs.
I would agree with that. You know, that's my favorite place.
I know it's your favorite place. I think that was good. It wasn't
Fry Street. Come on down and go to Fry Street and have some booze.
Fry Street's not what Fry Street is.
Cheap beer. UNT Eagle is totally right. Cheap beer. And you're not just kidding.
Cheap beer.
You're not, but he said just kidding. You're not just kidding.
Okay,
you're
been downtown for drinks and food in downtown in a while, but we went there.
Still cheap.
Still can't believe how cheap it was.
I took I brought some friends to the, was it UTEP was our last game?
I don't know.
Last home game?
Blocked it out.
Yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah. The really cold, yeah. I brought some friends down, and one of the guys went to UNT, but then he transferred to A&M. So he's familiar with Denton, and he used to come visit me in college, so he knows about the prices. But we live in Dallas now. He orders a round of, like, I think we had like three beers and three shots, and he picked up the tab for that one, and he looked at the bartender, and he goes, I freaking love Denton, because it was like $18, and he was like, I was like, what? And he's like, the prices, man. And I was like, yeah, you're right. But I mean, I don't notice
if
it because
I'm kind
of used to it.
Done the same thing in Uptown, it would have probably been three times.
Okay,
without question.
Well,
that's another
topic.
When
we go down to have like a drink, you know, like Shops of Legacy up in Plano or something, then we went to Denton, we're like, holy cow.
We used to have Dollar Long Neck Night at Andy's back in the day. Dollar Domestic Long Necks.
Yeah, see, that's just crazy.
Dollar Long Neck. Love it.
It still has small town prices, and that's amazing. So, well, and they're building all that stuff. So let's talk a little bit about Denton here, because obviously there's not a whole lot of football to talk about. You saw that they're finally going to develop that Razor Ranch area over there off of 35 south of 380. They're finally going to do something with that. They've been moving dirt and shuffling that around. And when I was in college, it was just still a ranch. But that's going to be a huge deal right there. And that kind of makes that western side of Denton, which was always a little sparse. Oh, I do have to tell you this. Do y'all know where Valley View is just north of Denton?
Valley View Mall over there off 635?
No.
Valley View exit?
North of Denton, south of Sanger.
Man, I never went north. Like on the Oklahoma side. I mean, unless
I've
I was
driven
going
on
to
35
that,
north a ton.
Unless I was going to that adult about. Bookstore over there off.
Oh my God! Delete that.
What was
out?
It called? TK's or DK's?
We don't know,
dude,
Harry. What
not,
was it called?
We are not gonna we're not gonna acknowledge that. That
is
that.
And there's like
A-frame
there's like
the
Jesus.
You know what I'm talking about? You drive by it, and it's just like, oh my God, what is that thing?
And like
we're not gonna acknowledge the A-frame building on the right before you get to Sanger.
And like right just like 100 yards down, it says Jesus loves you. God won't forgive you, stuff like that.
There's a loves truck stop. Okay, so wife and I last weekend went up to Munster, grabbed some lunch, there's a couple of wineries up there. It's kind of a nice scenic area. And then on the way back, there's a sign right south of Sanger going into Valley View. It says Moonshine Tastings, kind of like a wine tasting, you know. Went in there, one of those little buildings down there, right on the square of Valley View, which is literally like 100 yards off of I-35. There is a moonshine distillery, and they're making whiskey and moonshine and rum. And you go in there, and you can have tastings. Now, that they probably do have meth next door.
But don't smoke cigarettes when you get there.
30 minutes later, we're walking out with two mason jars full of moonshine that they fill up, and you have to sign a waiver.
And that's what Harry drank tonight when he's talking about porn, by the way.
Yeah, so we got two mason jars of moonshine. So if you're in Denton, I'd recommend going it up and doing a tasting and sign the form that you'll only buy two jars a month for the Texas Alcohol and Beverage Commission. So, anyway, so Denton's changed. Obviously, they've got some of those new buildings on campus. Everybody's excited. There's a lot going on. A new coach, new season. Things are excited. I will say this, and I am proud to say it. I already made my donation for the coming season.
To Beyond the Green? You donated to Beyond the Green?
I donated to the Mean Green Club. But I tell you, I love North Texas, and I love football season, but I'm happy when we step away for a bit in the spring, because that's when I need to recharge, because we get so into football season. So I've done that. I'm good for the season. I'm ready for it, but I need a break. It's just been a very, very nerve wracking off season. I mean,
for some reason,
season.
This was the reason that we all know good and well. I wasn't that interested in signing day this year. I kind of distanced myself a little bit and didn't want to get caught up in it because of the heartbreak of, you know, guys that I thought were going to be good and then they weren't. And I felt like I was almost getting too overly invested in these recruits that would come in. And then, you know, you're waiting, you know, all of a sudden then camp comes around and then you're like, oh, they're going to be good. They're going to be good. And then you forget that they're 18-year-old little punks that are still maturing and they're going to redshirt and then they sit on the sidelines. You know, it's like little things like I kind of distanced myself a little bit from it. And so, like, talking about it tonight and, you know, talking to Harry about what we were going to talk about tonight, you know, a couple of days ago is nice to kind of hear football again. But I did need a break, too. And I think that's why I was just kind of not feeling it.
All right. So before we leave you, we got one other guest. We're going to join us on the line. On the line, we've got JD. He is our resident forum recruiting expert. Going to ask him a couple of questions and just get a quick take on their season. He knows the ins and outs better than anybody. So hold on one second, and we'll have him on. All right. So joining us on the phone is JD, the recruiting expert for GoMeanGreen.com. JD, thanks for joining us.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, so we talked a little bit of recruiting on the podcast tonight, but we're all kind of rookies at it, except for Harry, who lives, eats, and breathes. Okay, Ashton's giving me the face because he's an expert at it as well.
You hurt Ashton's feelings.
No, I did. I'm
rookie.
Sorry.
So lame.
First of all, your overall feel, if you had to, I know I hate to say this, but grade the class, what would you think the grade would be for the circumstances we're in?
Yeah, given the circumstances, I mean, the one win and then, you know, pretty much recruiting shutting down after week six. You know, when Seth was hired, we had two recruits that was committed, not including the gray shirt, which makes three. They end up with 17 and you know, the two transfers. You know, I'd give it a – it was nothing that just, you know, was super superb, but – I mean, I'd give it a B, C plus, just because we got some players that are going to be able to step in right off the bat, and some nice pieces.
And you and I have talked about this some offline, JD. But you know, given the circumstances, you know, it was clear Latrell was looking for some players that were going to come in here and be able to help them get some W's. And so with that thought in mind, you want to talk about some of the guys that caught your eye on this class that could be some impact guys for the program?
Yeah, one guy on the offensive side of the ball that I was really excited and shocked we got was Cody Haynes, the offensive lineman from Navarro. I mean, with the, you know, offensive line could possibly be our strength next year with Barr and Kirby and Rice and Miles coming back. Hayes could slide right in there to the left tackle spot. And when he went to visit Houston, I figured that that's where he would end up. And him coming to North Texas, I think that was a huge get for Seth and the staff. I mean, that could really solidify that offensive line for next year.
In addition to that, it's Ashton, by the way. In addition to that, JD, what do you who's another guy that you kind of think would be, maybe that doesn't stand out, might be a sleeper or somebody that you think, you know, maybe wasn't highly recruited, wasn't getting offers from other teams or other schools, but, you know, we kind of snuck in there and it could be somebody that, you know, was overlooked.
Yeah. Two guys kind of stood out to me. Kyrie Muhammad and then Hamilton, the guy for the
Darius,
the defensive end. Muhammad, just because, you know, he switched to cornerback his senior year, and he's playing behind A.J. Green there at DeSoto, who signed with Oklahoma State. He was recruited by Troy Redford, and that was one of the guys that got hired on the staff that I was really excited about. He did good things at Louisiana Monroe, and he was good at finding guys that wasn't really highly recruited, but guys that fit his system. So that was a guy that really stood out to me. I mean, he played wide receiver, so he's got some decent hands, you know, to play, you know, safety. That's a guy that excites me. I was talking to a defensive assistant the other day for North Texas, and I was kind of talking, you know, he was, which guys excited him the most. And he's like, you know, the William Johnson, the guys that jump off the page. But a name that he mentioned to me that kind of really shocked me, a guy I hadn't even thought about, Corey Mann, the linebacker from Temple. He, when I asked him, I was like, you know, what excites you about him? He said, he's a stud. He's a tackling machine. I don't know if he's – I know he's a preferred walk-on, but he said that he would be on scholarship soon, that he would that he really was excited about that kid.
Did you notice anything different with this class and maybe themes or anything that was consistent that you hadn't seen in previous classes or I guess under the Mac years?
This class, it just seems like – I mean, Mason Fine said that. They didn't have to have prototypical guys. It was guys that fit their system. Mm-hmm. And that was really something that excited me. I mean, this class didn't come in, and they didn't just throw out offers to every 3-star, you know, in Texas. They offered the guys they wanted, and the offers they threw out, they were pretty successful. I mean, there was a couple guys they couldn't get to flip, but for the most part, they got the guys that they wanted. I mean, the quarterback position, they offered, you know, DiBiase and Nick. But other than that, that was really, I mean, Mason was the only other quarterback they went after. They looked at other quarterbacks, but they saw something in them, and that was the quarterback they chose.
And you know, JD, just looking at the message board, you know, North Texas fans love the underdog, and that Mason Fine thread, I know it went over 100, you know, posts, and you could just tell people are really excited about this kid. Give us your thoughts. I know you've done some research on him, and obviously he's undersized, but. Give us your thoughts about Mason Fine as a quarterback prospect.
Yeah, and I also talked to the guy that did the little documentary on him and Jason Pertle. And, I mean, everybody you talk to about this kid, all they have is unbelievable things to say about him. You know, I mean, y'all talking about his good grades. He was valedictorian of his class. And, you know, he's the hardest worker on his team. And, you know, the quarterbacks that Mac brought in, I mean, the DeJean, an unbelievable athlete, but was not a hard worker. You know, Connor Means, a good guy, but, you know, he wasn't even a superb high school quarterback. So I think Mason not only was an unbelievable record-breaking quarterback in high school, but a team leader, you know, class president. And I think stuff like that, I mean, to be a successful quarterback, not only do you have to have athletic ability, but hard work and leadership abilities, and I think he maintains and has all those, and that's one reason I'm excited about him is they kind of looked past the sub 6-foot frame and took a chance on him. And I think everybody should be excited for what the next few years has to hold with him.
Well, JD, we appreciate all your work covering the recruiting. I mean, I think you were staying right on top of it through the entire period, and appreciate you for jumping on. I know that you're, you know, along with recruiting, have a lot of thoughts and insight on just the program itself. So we'd like to have you come back periodically and visit with us on the podcast, if that's okay.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Hey, appreciate it. Take care.
Go Mean Green.
Okay.
Thanks, man.
You know, talking about Fine there and talking about some of the other players and even talking about the preferred walk-on, I mean, there's a lot to be excited for. I mean, I know right now we could be excited with a new paint job on a railing right now. I mean, that's just what we need something to be excited about. But I still think we made out like a bandit. One, on the coach, I think we were great to get him when we did. I know a lot of their schools would probably have liked to have a shot at him. And I'm the class he managed to put together at the end of the season. I think we're lucky.
I liked JD's point about going after the guys. You didn't get every guy you wanted, but you focused on certain guys versus just kind of going across the board and offering a bunch of guys that weren't ever going to come here.
We didn't spaz out. We didn't spaz out and freak out and say we got to get somebody. So let's just go get some crap. Yeah. You know, like this guy, La Tech pulled their offer from this guy because they wanted somebody else. So let's go get that guy because he's, you know, butt sore, might want to play against La Tech. You know, we didn't do something like that. We didn't go get any, you know, underdog stories that are like vindictive guys, maybe outside of Mason Fine or something like that, because, you know, but that was just, that's kind of a different animal. I like the fact that JD brought up the tackle from Navarro because that was a guy that I kind of wanted to bring up.
He was on my short list to talk about.
He was on my top three. He
lies.
Yeah, right.
But no, when I talked to Perry, he brought him up specifically and said that the word he used was unbelievable, and he threw out, like, you know, this is the kind of guy that you might see 6-7 years later. You know, leads me to believe that this is the kind of guy that's got, like, maybe an NFL body or maybe the feet or something like that he sees. Like, this could be some potential right there.
And let's be honest, the offensive line, we keep saying every year it's going to be a strength. It really wasn't last year.
It was not a strength last year.
And so that's – especially with this offense, I know they get rid of the ball fast and things of that nature, and it's a, you know, quick drop and that
we
stuff.
Think.
But you know what? You got to have protection and – frankly, that's a weakness. So getting a JUCO guy with that kind of size that can hopefully step right in. They got two guys, actually. There's another guy from Trinity Valley that they signed. So that's
pipeline
a good thing.
Open. I mean, keep that open. Like somebody on the board said, the DeSoto pipeline. I mean, you got pipelines that you're, you know, do it now. And Seth is doing the right thing by hopefully, I assume he's building relationships, you know, because – what's going to happen, and Perry alluded to this as well when we talked, he's like, you know, the perception out there of North Texas is probably a little bit up in the air. You know, all these high school coaches got to try to figure out what's going on. So they want to make sure that they, you know, put their money where their mouth is, you know, in the spring. And maybe if they went in there and tried to sell some high school coaches on what they're doing now, the coaches are going to be watching during spring ball or spring in general and just see, like, what's going on. And, you know, if they say that, We want your receivers, your running backs, your quarterbacks, whatever, because they fit this style offense or Seth's offense. You better damn sure see that in the spring game, you know. And the spring is a really important time. So, you know, we do have some stuff to be talking about here in like another month.
Oh, the spring, this is one of the most exciting springs. And you've heard me before, Evan, I don't like spring. I think it's
– clean slate, man.
You know what? This is fun because it's a new system. And there's going to be guys that maybe were on the bench that have a chance to prove themselves. So I'm excited. This is – going to be the one of the more exciting springs we've had in a while.
This is the time when the posting board gets a little crazy, but I think we're already there, and we've been there most of the season. There's a certain few people on there that seem to make it. There's an individual on there that I'd say suffers from mental illness, but I think he's enjoying the mental illness. So the problem is it is truly, Harry, you are a saint because 99% of the people would have done something, but I know your thoughts on censorship, it's always been this way. You either get it from the fans or you get it from the athletic department, whatever gets posted. It's pretty miserable, caught in the middle that you are. But the board has been a tough place this year. Let's hope that the spring game gets everybody excited. Everybody steps back because everybody needs to step back and take a break occasionally. and see what else is going on in their life. And then come back and let's all enjoy the summer and looking, you know, going into that first game.
We need wins, Evan. You and I have been saying that.
What are those?
Shit, man, I mean, since the Dickey era, we've been doing these podcasts.
It's a win.
And how many winning seasons have we had?
We had one, Harry. Should have hung it up after that one. Should have gone out on a high note.
So out of, you know, out of however many years we've been doing this. So this program needs to win. And I hate to bring it up, and we haven't talked about it because it's a sore subject, but what about basketball? I mean, basketball has had another.
Well, that was a good episode of this week's podcast.
Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's another example. And, again, it's amazing to me the level of support we have given the performance. Not to say there haven't been some good moments and some good things, but I think this program needs to win. And hopefully Latrell and this new staff will head us in that direction because we need it.
We really do. And I think by the time the season rolls around, there's going to be a lot of excitement. I think a lot of people
optimism.
Are going to be fired up. That's right. They're going to be very optimistic.
It's a clean slate, man. I mean, we should be excited. Everybody should just kind of put away last season. And I know that at the beginning of the podcast, we were all kind of saying that we needed a break and distance ourselves. And I just admitted to not being that as tied up in resigning day as I have been in, you know, the previous 3 or 4 years. And I think that's a good thing, you know, just recharge a little bit. Step back and then forget about all the crappy losses, you know, 11 of them.
I've already forgot our record from last season.
It took me a second. I wanted to say 10, but that would have been ambitious.
By the time the season starts after a recharge, I will need a media guide to remember our record from last year.
See, I'll never forget we beat UTSA this last year.
That was great.
That was pretty awesome. We're going to hang our hat on that one.
Yeah.
Awesome day. Awesome day. I remember that they had to try to find the light switch for the tower to light it up. They forgot where it was.
Ba-da-bing.
I should have played crickets there.
I was trying to by not saying anything. I was hoping you could hear from the outside.
Oh, look, there's the fight song. That means it's time to end this episode. Thanks for joining us. I'm Evan.
This is Harry.
This is Ashton.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.